Okay, so I guess I'm going to go first a little bit. Just to let you guys know a little bit about me. I was not raised in the church. I was raised in and out of the church. But there was no standard or anything like that. My mom was raised with a standard, but she did not keep that when raising us. I'm not saying I had a bad childhood. My mom, I feel, did the best that she wanted to do, and we didn't want for anything or anything like that. But as I became, 12, 13, 14 years old, there was things that I wanted to do. And my mom, I was the only girl. I had three brothers. I was the only girl. So I wasn't allowed to go do anything with my friends or anything like that. My mom just kept me, under the roof, per se. So I wanted to get out and experience things that my mom did not want me to. Whether it was going to we went roller skating, just a couple girls and I would go roller skating, but that wasn't good enough for me. I would have to invite this person, this person, this person, without my mom knowing. So that's how I came to experience things that I shouldn't have experienced. Life as a child, I mean, as a teenager, I guess, my mom did what she felt was right, I guess, and that led to now I have a lot of scars. And like, you guys fall down, get scrapes or cuts or bruises or this, that, and the other, and you know the scars that you have, and sometimes scars fade, but you can still see them even though I can't see them standing here. So I can see all my scars that I have, whether you see them or not. I get to see them every day. And that saying, you reap what you sow, is very true. And there's been many times where I've spoke to several of my kids and said, I'm looking at myself from across the table and I just can't believe that this is going on. I asked Hannah, I think last night, I said, what's my favorite saying? She said, which one? I said, well, okay. And my thing is, the best way to do something is do it right the first time. That way there's not a second time, there's not a third time, there's not a fourth time. And I try to do things the best of my ability the first time. But in having things my own way growing up, I became pregnant at 16, had my first child at 17. I didn't have a license. I couldn't even go and get my own apartment. I couldn't do anything, but I had a child. And that was because I wanted things the way I wanted them. Regardless of what my mom said, regardless of what my dad said, I wanted them my way. So a lot of these roads that I've traveled as a young child are now becoming part of the church. I have to learn now instead of learning as a child, whereas a lot of you guys are brought up in the church, get to learn these things at a younger age than what I got to learn them. Being 31 and telling me I have to submit to my husband is not okay with me. It wasn't okay with me. It was very hard because I didn't even submit to my own parents. So why does he have rule over me, per se? It's very hard for me. It's very hard. God was very vivid in telling me, the way my job ended. I can't explain it any more than what God did. And I've worked my whole entire life. I would bale hay at the age of 11. I just worked and worked and worked. And for God to tell me, you have to stay home with your children. No. I don't want to do that. Why are you making me do this? Well, he didn't make me do it. The desire was there. I just had to let him flourish it, per se. Water a flower. Let the flower bloom. All these things, I believe, are instilled in us. My favorite scripture is Jeremiah 1 and 5. I cannot say it word for word, but it is, God knew us before we were even created in the womb. He sanctified us before we were even born. So he knew the path that he has for every single one of us, whether we go with his path or not. So to me, God has already instilled a lot of this stuff inside of us. It's just whether or not we are willing to submit to God and let these things be. Being married out of the church, a lot of these weddings are going on and stuff, and the devil likes to tap me on the shoulder. You could have had this, but you didn't. You didn't have one of these. And to me, like, I just cry at these weddings because I'm like, this is so awesome. This is just amazing. This is done the right way. This is just so awesome. But God rescued me. And he said, you did have a Church of God wedding. Josh and I was married in the print shop. It was just Josh and I. Brother York was the witness, the best man, and the maid of honor. So, we did have a Church of God wedding. It just wasn't out there. So, God rescued, and you know, that's how God shows me different things. I mean, they have to make sense to me. But not being raised in the church has been quite hard. Being married in the beginning, Josh and I, before being saved and everything, Josh would say something and I disagreed, so I voiced my opinion, and then Josh would try to voice his opinion a little bit louder, and so I would voice mine louder and louder and louder and louder. And so when I got saved, one of the first things, God just, like, I don't know how he did it, but I couldn't even open my mouth. And I would just sit there and tears just pouring on my face. He's, why are you crying? I don't know. But that was one way that God was shaping me into being who I need to be, saved for Josh. And I believe that all these things that God is teaching me personally, being saved as a mother, being saved as a wife, it's a very gentle, like, he, you know, God is definitely not like, this is how it is, and that's just it. This is how it is, and that's just it. Because I've questioned God numerous times, why did I have to travel so many roads to get here? Why did I have to travel so many roads to get here? But those roads are coming out in ways of helping other people. You know, I can lean on God a little bit harder with the different things that I have to go through, so somebody else doesn't have to go through. And that's okay with me. If I can take in everything that God has shown me to help somebody else, I'm willing to do that. Right. Being saved is an amazing thing. I obviously didn't have a youth group. I didn't get together with a flock of youth that wanted to serve the Lord and wanted to have good, clean fun. I mean, I had to fight and pull at things to get to hang out, even as an adult. I mean, sitting there on a Friday night calling people, whoever wanted to come over and hang out and do, you know, around the fire and do stupid stuff. I mean, you had to fight to get people to hang out with you. And it's like, now it's like, they say, okay, there's a revival, vans are going. It's like, well, we need more vans because there's so many people that want to go. To me, that's awesome. That is just amazing. Just the different things of how God is sculpting, I guess, my marriage with Josh. I'm learning that Josh is for me in different ways. You know, I've had a couple people come up to me. I talked about this last night, but a couple people have come up to me that was in the youth group with Josh. And they said, I just had to meet you because I heard that Josh Kemp was married, and if somebody wanted to marry Josh Kemp, I had to meet them because he was wild. Like, but I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know him like that. But Josh is for me. He puts up with a lot of stuff from me. I have a tendency to, especially now, just complain, whether it's, you know, getting up off the couch, I'm hurting, getting off the couch, whatever it is, I just complain, he, whether he's taking any of it in, I don't know, but he's right for me, because, you know, he's not barking back at me. I went somewhere the other night with a group of friends, and I was like, you know, if you really don't want me to go, you know, I don't have to go. And he's like, I don't care if you go, just go have fun. And sometimes, I mean, you can get into sticky situations with people, and they're like, no, you're not going nowhere. You're going to stay right here. You're not going. But Josh is right for me. I'm thankful that Josh was raised here for most of his childhood. Getting married to Josh, he said that he wasn't going to be married by anybody but his pastor, Brother Decker. I had no clue what he meant. But I do now. I see what he seen. He through our dating and being married time and stuff like that, I mean, there was different things. He had very high respect just for this church grounds. And I didn't understand any of this stuff. To me, I thought he was crazy a lot of times. And when he got saved, he told me he was saved. I think he went around to, like, his brother, his mom, told everybody that he got saved, he's going to live for the Lord. And I said, okay. You know, because I knew my mom and how she lives for the Lord is not how we live for the Lord. So, and a lot of things that Josh did, I did not understand, but it was a very comforting feeling, I guess, if that makes any sense whatsoever. He was doing crazy stuff. I mean, blasting gospel music in the garage, and used to be blasting country music, but now he's blasting gospel music to where, like, I mean, to me, it was annoying, but I was like, what is going on with him? His brother actually told me, he said, oh, he's back in the church flow. You just wait. You're not going to be around very much longer. Just so you know, you're going to get tired of this. And I thought, well, I got to see what he's talking about. You know, I can't just up and leave. And in the world, that's a quick fix. Just leave. And even being in the world, I remember I worked at a nursing home for many years. This lady was married 66, 7 years, something like that. And I said, how on earth did you make it that long? And she said, when things are broke, you fix it. You just don't throw it in the trash. And that has just stuck with me. I remember several times, like maybe the last year that we were not saved, I remember telling Josh, something's missing. Something's missing. Life is not supposed to be like this. Something's missing with our life. So that things just didn't work out all year. Bad things just kept happening all year. Josh got saved. He was very, very, it was very attracting to me because I had lived for the world my whole life. And to see something new, something good, something warm, something joyful, something different than he was grumpy all the time. He wasn't anymore. It was nice. And that helped me come to the Lord, I believe. And being married now with God in our lives is a completely different relationship than being married before in the world. I don't know.
This is our marriage is like the exception. You know, it's not the rule. Like, I was a part of this young people's group when Sister Quarter was here, and I think it was like the first year before they took over. I don't know when it was, but I was wild. I was trying to serve God, and I was really, really wild. And I just remember, I try to go back before the service and just meditate on how it was and how I was just so, I just wanted companionship so bad that I would just got things happen in the congregation, comments were made to me and different things like that. And that's not a reason to stop serving God, but it really affected me in a great way. Where do you take that from here? You know, be careful about what you say to people, how you treat one another. You know, it's always been through the history of time that you get little groups and this one hangs out with this one and this one hangs out with this one. But I really see a lot more unity in the young people group than now than ever. And I really thank God for that. But I stopped singing in the choir. I sat right by Brother Mike up front in Sister Cummings' row. And then I started moving back in the church. And it just got away. I started missing services, Then it was just more easy to miss services. And then during that time I met her, and she was like, wow, somebody wants to talk to me, you know, somebody wants, you know, that cares about me and stuff like that. So we got together and all that kind of stuff, and I went out into the world, I went into the deep sin, and a lot of things that that I said that I, when I got saved before, that I never, because many people know that I was in a car accident on my 21st birthday, and I got in a bad wreck, and I almost died out doing ungodly things. And God saved me from that. And I think it was, we were doing the carpet in the church at the time. Many, I don't know how many remember that. But I had got away from God, and God had spared my life so many times. But I went out in the deep sin, and a lot of the things that I never said that I said I'll never do, I'll never be a part of, I ended up partaking in that. I didn't like the taste of alcohol, but I kept petting on it. I kept drinking it and drinking it and drinking it for the effects. When you go away from God, nothing satisfies like being saved. You could try everything. You could have all the money. You could have the best job in the world. But nothing satisfies like having peace with God in your heart. And it just, life got, it took control. We had Luke, you know, and all these other things. And, you know, down through the years, I always wanted to get back to God. But the devil had me convinced that I was never going to get saved again. That I was going to hell. That there was no hope for me. And, you know, I started, I think I got a text in the middle of August from Brother Michael saying, we haven't gave up on you. We're still praying for you. And God had been dealing with me that whole year. And like, we used to take our camper to country concerts and just get all blasted drunk and everything else. And just, and half the time I don't even remember what we did. Or what? Who sang? Or what happened? Because I was so under the influence of alcohol, I did. It was just what was supposed to be a good time, really wasn't. But it cost a lot of money to go to those events and do all those things. And Stacy would ask me from time to time. Like, I remember one time she asked me, like, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "It's like I'm on a rough sea, and I just can't find no peace. I can't find no rest. My soul is just troubled constantly." So I'd go to the bottle and I would get smashed drunk so I could just lose reality. And when I was a weekend warrior, I would just drink on the weekends. I would just have a ball with the people around the fire or whatever. But it got to the point where I was doing it every day after work, and then I couldn't even go to work, deal with the people at work without going home and drinking and drinking and drinking. And I'm taking my kids into this stuff. My kids, Luke, I was having Luke go to the refrigerator and get me a beer out of there and all this other stuff, just ungodliness. And I didn't want to raise my kids that way. And all through my life, I've always had a tremendous respect for this place and these people, for the saints of God. And, you know, and I've always had a deep respect for our pastor. And when I would go by this church, you know, I'd always have a good system in my truck and all that. And I just blare music. But when I went by here, I turned it off. When I set foot on this property, I was dressed modestly. I remember when it was an August camp meeting, and I went to see my Grandma Kircher in the dining hall, and I had a cutoff shirt on, and I put like a hoodie on. It was like in the 90s at that time, just to go in there to see her, because I did what I just have so much respect for this. I never smoked. I got involved with cigarettes. I hated cigarettes. I hated the smell of them. Still do. But it's just these things that I got involved in that you could say that I'll never do this. You could say that this isn't real, but it is real. When you give your life to the devil and you walk away from truth, you don't know where you're going to go. And I see it. I see young people now that just leave the truth, and they don't even know the risk that they're taking. You know, we got together and God blessed us and brought us here. It's just the mercy of God that we are here today. You don't even know how bad in sin that we was. You know, and I wrote some things down, you know, about doing it right. You know, what we try to do, and we use our life, we try to bring our children up to do it right. Whatever it is, marrying, job, dating, material things such as, you know, Instagram, you know, Facebook, you know, cell phones, do it right. And sometimes God wants us to give up certain things. And one thing that God was inspiring me to do is get rid of my smartphone. You know, and I still have to have my contacts on. I have to get them ported over, but now I have a flip phone. Now, it's prehistoric. It's hard. It's really, really hard to just work and operate it. But it's better to have the peace of God in my soul than to have any kind of form of technology in the world. And, you know, it's something that I just believe that I could waste less time on a flip phone. You know, I don't even think my internet even works on my phone nowadays. But, you know, I have a computer at home for computer things and different things like that. And if I'm not saying that, I'm not preaching or saying anything against devices or anything. But if God tells you that you need to give something up, or if God inspires you that you need to give something up or cut something loose, God knows it's for your best good. And that's what I kind of fought. Lord, I have a job and I have all these, oh, I need technology for my job and this and that. And God would be like, well, they have phones at work for you. We have smartphones at work that we take in the trucks and we do all our billing and all this stuff with. So everything that I kept putting up in front of God, like, you know, I could do this, or I could do this, or I could do this. And God kept rebuttaling back on and I want to thank God also for the patience of God. You know, people think that because we're, you know, I testify and I sing and all that other stuff, that I just have it all together, that I never have any problems, I never have any trials or anything like that. But I'm telling you right now, when you get up in front of people and you testify of what God's done for you, the devil will come after you, and he will pounce on you, and he will pounce on you in your mind. But it's not about that. God's grace just comes in and he just helps me with everything that I go through in my day to day with the people on the job and things that I go through on my job. I get cussed out all the time and different things. Many people here deal with unsaved people on the job. And, you know, I think what I do and how I raise my children, it's not to take something away from them, but it's to encourage them to do it the right way. You know, I look at people like Laura and TJ on how they dated and how they are serving God and how they're raising their children. That's how I'm trying to raise my children, is to do it right. It's not that some things are roadblocks are put in to keep you from something, but if you're not mature enough for it, maybe it is you need to wait a little longer to do it, because it's so you get in such a hurry. You're out there like Stacy, you know, she was out there and she had a child at a young age, didn't even have her license, you know, but the flesh says, "I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. I could do this just because I want to be with this certain individual." But God knows what's best for us. And in Proverbs, the 13th chapter and the 15th verse, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. When you go against something that God has definitely told you or told me or anybody that personally that you shouldn't do, and you go against that, your way and life becomes hard. There's times that God has told me in my experience that you need to do this. You need to say this, you need to do this, you need to sing this. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Well, I never had really peace. It just something came over me when I just did my own little thing. And God's like, and every time that I'm praying and that thing comes up to me in my mind, you're supposed to say this, you're supposed to do this. And I don't get no help, and I don't get, that's taking a beating from God. I don't get no rest in my soul until I go back and I do what God told me to do. So just remember that. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. God throws warning signs out ahead of us in our lives, but we can blow right by them, and God can allow us to do it. It doesn't mean God is pleased when we're in the permissive will of God, when God permits things to happen. It doesn't mean that God's pleased with us and God has favor over our lives. It just means that God's allowing it to happen. The thing is, as I sing that song, you know, so many times, the center of your will is where I long to be. You know, that's where God, and Brother Dishman brought a message about that, I think it was last year or the year before, to be in the permissive will of God and be in the center of God's will. God wants us in the center of his will. You know, he doesn't want us just to go off and do our own thing and God will take it. We take a job here, we do this, we do that, and God will let us have that job, but maybe it's not good for us because it's going to weaken us as a Christian. It's going to keep us out of church. So that's another thing to keep in mind. when God's telling you to do this or do that, you know, to do it. I've said before, but even sin, there were certain things that I didn't do. Having reverence for God and God's people, I wanted to reiterate that. Even when people did me wrong, I didn't want to go around and say this one did me wrong, this one did me wrong. I flat out just didn't say anything to a lot of people back then when I was a young person. And, you know, I didn't have to leave. I want to make that clear too. It was a choice that I decided to do, and it came from just neglect. I wasn't reading, I wasn't praying, I wasn't doing the things that I'm supposed to do. And over a period of time, I just stopped going. I just gave up. And I want to encourage you, if you're going through something tonight and you don't know what to do and you don't know how to go about it, go to God. Go to the godly people that God has put here as young people's leaders. I think a lot of Brother Steve and Sister Sherry of their ministry in this young people's group. And they're just such a good people to, even as parents of us, to go to for advice on how to do this or how to do that or what not to do. And because we look at their children, we look at Sister Cummings' life and how she raised her children. Now, ultimately, it comes up to a decision that you're going to have to make. Do you want to do it God's way or do you want to do it the devil's way? That's what it's all. We could raise you the best that we know how, but it comes down to a decision that you're going to have to make in your life, what you want to do with God, what you want to do with Jesus. And I'm so thankful that God has blessed our life. You know, we need your prayers. We're raising children, you know. We want to do what's right, and we want to be what's right for everybody. And that's all I really have right now. I thought about this in Psalms 37. He brought it up last night. You know, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. God knows exactly what your desires are and my desires are. And if we just put God first, if we just seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto us. All these things that God wants us to have, he wants us to have the desires of our heart. And I encourage you, if you want somebody or if you want something, put God first and then let God work all the rest out. God is totally able to work out all the little details out of our lives and give us what we want if we just seek him first.